Okay.
We're on.
Okay.
Kind of in 5 minutes. You're about the farm animals.
So that'll be here, the public hearing. You can talk at that.
But just about the farm animals, not about how they got to their point. Just like you're asking. I don't want to speak about anything.
You get any comment you want in 5 minutes. So you, if you want to give a history or your opinion on
how they got to the point where
it's in front
this
of
you. But remember, this isn't for, this is a law that's not specific to any one neighborhood in the town. This may have come to light in a neighborhood, but what we're considering in this law will be applied to the town at large. So if there's a specific issue that you want to reference, it may not be applicable.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a reference, but I think it's beyond the farm animal thing, so I should bring that up with the association and not you gentlemen.
Yeah, if it's okay. if it's pertinent to the local issue,
yes.
Maybe that's probably. But I'm not telling you what you can and can't say. It just may not be.
I don't want to get up and start.
No. Oh, boy, here we go. We got one of them old timers again.
No. Thanks a lot.
That's funny.
Okay. Is this, are we on?
We're on.
Yep. All right, let's start the meeting with a pledge to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I love this. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is good. Okay, the next item on the agenda is number 3. It's where we announce any additions or deletions to the agenda. We have a work session prior to the start of the 7 o'clock meeting that we just opened, and that's where we talk about a lot of the issues that are either on the agenda or pending. And so sometimes we'll come up with things that need to be acted on immediately because we only meet twice a month. So to make sure that everybody's aware of any additions to the agenda, we make an announcement. So we did 3 things. First of all, tonight we'll have the public hearing on the farm animal law. All right? But item A, we're going to table. There will be no action tonight from this board after the public hearing. The public hearing is still going to happen. We're going to hear everyone's comments, but the board is not going to take any action. So, you know, if you were going to stick around to see which way we were going to go on that issue, we're not going to take that up tonight. And then what we did is we added an item I and J, which is going to be, I guess, H and I. I don't know how we want to do that, Dina. We'll just leave it alone because we'll table A. Item I is just a motion allowing our recreation supervisor to purchase a walk-behind brush mower for an amount not to exceed $3,000. Because a lot of you aren't going to be here, I'll just let you know how that came about. There's a lot of properties in town that need maintenance. When people don't mow their lawns, they get cited by codes. Well, there's up to 50 of them now. Last year, we didn't service any of them. So Parks has stepped up and offered to provide that service for us. And in order for Parks to do that, they need a piece of equipment. This is that piece of equipment. He has the money available in his existing budget, which is a good thing. And he presented a business plan, which shows that this piece of equipment should be purchased probably within this year, based on what we charge. And then what we charge is item J, is we're setting, if we actually go out and have to mow someone's lawn, after we cite them, we give them 10 days to do it themselves. If they don't, then it's gonna cost them $250 for the town to come in and do that. You're probably wondering why that seems like a lot of money to mow a lawn. It's really not. In the village, we were doing it for $75, and people would just let the village do it because it was a great deal. And the village only did it twice a summer, so you know, we don't want to get into that. And you know, based on, you know, based on our costs, our personnel costs, use of the mowers and equipment, we thought that that was a fair price. It was also based on an investigation that Tony did throughout the county as far as what other towns do. Other than that, the agenda is pretty much the same. I would just say this. It's rare that we have three public hearings on in a night. And sometimes public hearings can get passionate. And all I would ask is that if you have a comment for one of these public hearings, come on, you know, we don't even really have a time restriction. We ask that you keep it brief because if there's a lot of people, obviously the meeting can go on. But everyone's going to have an opportunity to speak. I would just ask that everybody be respectful of everybody's time. Everyone's going to have an opportunity. And if you hear something said that you were going to say, it doesn't really improve the case if it's said over again. So we just ask that in order to hear everybody, that we be efficient with the time that we use. So with that being said, the next item on the agenda is the public hearing for zone change for farm animals and local law. Dina, could you read the proof of public hearing?
Please take notice that a public hearing will be held by the town board of the town of Lysander on Thursday, June 21st, 2018, 7 o'clock p.m. at Town Hall, 8220 Loop Road, Walthamstown, New York, 12027, to consider adopting a local law whereby section 169-51.1, new farm animals, section 44, is hereby amended to read Article 2 terminology, section 139-4B definitions and word usage are amended by adding the following. Farm animals. This term includes all farm animals, horses, mules, donkeys, sheep, goats, pigs, cattle, livestock, geese, fowl, poultry, etc., and wild or dangerous animals. Article 20, supplemental regulations. Section 139-51.1, new farm animals. No farm animals shall be kept or harbored on land zoned R10, R12.5, or R-20. Any person or persons harboring farm animals in all other zones shall keep such animals confined to their property. Copies of said local law are available for review at the office of the town clerk by order of the town board of the town of Lysander dated May 17, 2018. And this legal notice was published in the Post Standard on May 24, 2018.
Okay. Dina, when you read that, Bob mentioned that section number. What was the section number that was cited?
In our new code.
Okay. Which was what?
Section
139-51.
139-51.1,
because this says
320-51.
That's the old code.
Okay. 320 is the new code. 139
is the old one. So what's on there now is correct.
320-51.
That's the new code.
The real code.
Does everybody have that in the audience that was available? Do you have 320.51.1?
It's there.
Okay. All right. All right. So with the proof of publication read, can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll move it.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Public hearing is open. We ask that if you have a comment, you come up to the mic, just state your name. And floor is open. Anybody in the audience wishing to make a comment for the law? Let's start with in favor of the law.
Yes.
Okay.
You have taken this under consideration because you have are concerned about the entire town of Lysander and whether or not its zoning regulations are in accord with those of other towns who have taken a similar action to this, and that the residents of such places as Baldwin Hill, Giddings Crest, Whispering Oaks, River Mist, and a host of other developments are depending upon you to do whatever you believe to be the correct and right thing as elected officials. officials. Thank you.
Can we grab your name for the
record? John Brunetti, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Is that mic on? Yeah, can you check? Did you hear it?
Yeah.
Could you guys hear that okay? Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know, the artist's working. Okay. All right, anybody else in the audience wishing to speak in favor? Okay, is there anybody in the audience wishing to speak against?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Nicole Eink, and I live at 1615 South Avenue Trail. I am also the current resident with four chickens in my backyard. 3 years ago, my children approached me to see if we could get some chickens. I looked into the current association guidelines as well as the town of Lysander rules. There were no such rules. I made my children approach our surrounding neighbors and ask for permission. There was no problem. During that time, we dealt with very unruly neighbors. There were loud parties, drugs, violent behavior, and it left us unable to use our property around the river. I approached our association and was told nothing can be done legally. I approached the town and I was told they are doing everything possible. Unfortunately, that situation ended with horrific tragedy. But today, we are labeled with our chickens as the worst thing to happen in our association in 25 years. This current issue with chickens in residential communities is not about the town of Lysander, but about the Association of Seneca Estates. We were never approached by anyone on the board other than a letter stating that we have to get rid of them. There have been private meetings, slanderous emails from the president of the association, and accusations of deceitful behavior. I am here to tell you I am not a liar. I did nothing in a deceitful manner, and my chickens are part of my family and are just to teach our children about the raising of animals. They are not a nuisance. They do not smell. They do not make a noise. This issue is not a town issue. Do not make it one. I currently have in my hand 32 signatures from our immediate neighbors in Seneca Estates who feel the same way I do. I can get more. This was just our friends. My daughter would like to speak next.
Sure. Take it.
I'm gonna let it fall.
Take it
right off of there.
There you go.
Hello. Our names are Elizabeth, Amelia, and Charles Inc. We live on 1615 South Ivy Trail, Baldwinsville, New York. We have four chickens named Nippy, Bubba, Fluffy Pants, and George. They lay us usually one egg a day from each chicken. Chickens are very good animals for kids to learn about being responsible and take care for them. We need to get food, water, and get eggs from them. I would not call our chickens a nuisance. I would call them a responsibility. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Carol Klein. I live at 1607 South Ivy Trail, right next door to the Yanks. I cannot understand why the sudden concern over their chickens. A large portion of the land off of 370 have been and still are agricultural. Too many children as well as adults have come to believe that our food only comes from a grocery store, can be ordered and delivered by the grocery store, can be picked up at a restaurant for you to eat, or the latest, have your food prepared and sent to you to save time. What is so wrong with children raising a few chickens in a beautiful coop? I don't see the chickens, hear the chickens, or smell the chickens. There is no rooster to wake me up at the crack of dawn. The Yanks are helping their children develop into responsible adults that understand and appreciate the hard work our farming neighbors do so that we may all enjoy the bounties of food we have. And in addition, it is also known that chickens eat ticks, which cause Lyme disease. Please, we do not need to amend any Lysander codes. I have spoken to the immediate neighbors who would be directly affected by these chickens. These neighbors are either here in direct support of the Yanks or have signed a petition saying that they feel there is no concern with the chickens. If the neighbors who were immediately adjacent to the Yanks are not concerned about them, then I fail to see why the concerns, where the concerns are coming from. The officers of the Homeowners Association have yet to publicly disclose where this concern has arisen from. Therefore, I don't feel it's reasonable to enact a law when this matter may have arisen as a personal issue with someone having their own agenda. I have known the Yanks for years. They have contributed greatly to our community, including the aesthetic beauty of Seneca Estates. I know they will continue to take great care of their chickens and do nothing to affect the peaceful environment of the development. Thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Matt Dolph, and I live with my family at 1635 South Ivy Trail. We are one of the reasons we are here today voting on this farm animal restriction. I urge the board to reconsider this proposal, specifically about chickens. We didn't take the decision to get chickens lightly, and that was after consulting two of our neighbors, the Yanks, and days of research. We decided that raising a few backyard chickens would be beneficial to our family for a number of reasons, but more importantly, give some responsibility and instill values in our daughters. Some of the following areas of concern that I would like to inform or dispel. Disease. So we thought having healthy, fresh eggs on a daily basis was much more beneficial than buying eggs where it seems like on a yearly basis there is a salmonella outbreak, and just this past May, over 200 million eggs were recalled. Noise. Again, after doing numerous days of research, we also found that hens average 60 decibels, while dogs average 90. So it's not a noise concern. If you want to ban roosters, restrict them, that's fine. I don't see an issue with that. And it's also a reasonable request. As far as waste and odor go, a 40-pound dog produces more waste than 10 chickens. At least with the chickens, that waste can then be composted, turned into appropriate fertilizer for the garden. And there's not a noticeable smell when the coop is cared for appropriately. As far as predators and pests, again, speaking from where we are, they are no more of a problem than they were before the chickens arrived. The first winter, I had a trail camera set up right next to the coop. In the months from November to March, I had pictures of three different house cats who meandered next to the coop. And no, and I repeat, no foxes, raccoons, coyotes, possums, fishers, martens, otters, river cats, sasquatches, or any other predators that come near the coop during this time. As far as safety goes, with two children under the age of three, there is no way that I would possess these animals if they were brought any kind of danger from predators or disease into my family. It was after 18 months that we got the chickens that these complaints started or arose. We have kept them inside the coop and only let them out sparingly to eat the bugs and ticks in our yard. Otherwise, they are, again, confined to their space. I just wish that, much like the current generation that I teach, I wish that a lot of these things were handled more face-to-face than just behind faceless emails, text messages, or however other communications are used now. I urge people to come and take a look at our family chicken coop. It's not an eyesore. It's actually better looking than some of the sheds in our neighborhood. And as far as opinions of others, we were thoughtful enough to ask two of our neighbors. They laughed at us and said, sure, we don't mind, when we asked for their thoughts on raising chickens. But in the same context, why should we have to ask our neighbors about us buying chickens when they never asked us about buying a dog, putting up a fence, playground in their backyard? So we shouldn't feel the need to ask this, as it's infringing on our civil liberties. As far as real estate goes, there's been a rumor that a real estate agent stated property values would be negatively affected up to around $20,000 in our neighborhood due to chickens being present. This is false. It was just last fall, in November of 2017, that the neighbor who had a direct view of our chicken coop had three full price offers in less than a week. If you have a house that's well kept in a nice area, people will pay appropriately for it. If it's not well kept in a bad area, don't expect many offers. We moved in approximately 3 years ago to our current house. With the updates, renovations that we made over those 3 years, our home value has gone up again approximately 40%. There's no reason why we bring in chickens to decrease our property value when we're trying to make it look as beautiful as possible. Last but not least, as far as solutions go, I just urge you to rework the proposed law. If you want to eliminate cows, goats, pigs, horses, go right ahead. But there's no valid reason why a well-kept chicken coop, as far as 6 to 12 chickens for personal consumption, can't be kept in a backyard. From Anchorage to Phoenix, LA, Boston, Orlando, and many, many cities along the way, all allow to some degree backyard chickens. Only a short time ago, which probably know about, the Village of Fayetteville approved backyard chicken keeping. And again, much like a dog registration fee, Fayetteville has a chicken feed permit. There is a limit of 12 chickens. No, I don't see any issue with this. Keeps all parties happy and it's reasonable. If the chickens are posing an issue, much like a dog that doesn't care for it, then act on it. Just like any other thing, any other home domesticated animal. When we get down to it, the chickens are not the issue, it's the individuals who are against the change. The very change that has allowed this country to continue to evolve to this day. We're not saying that you have to like chickens, but allow us enough respect to allow us to live as we see fit without interfering in the way that we choose to live. Allow others in our town the same freedom that our family has to get back to our roots in raising our children the right way with a few feathered pets. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Christine, and I also live in Seneca States on 1616 Mariner Trail here in Baldwinsville. I am here to share that I am pro-chickens. While in passing or visiting, I have watched families in our area with them, and I have seen nothing but positivity with them as pets. They clear or limit the area of bugs and ticks. So thank you to your chickens for lowering the chance of Lyme disease being passed. They are great with children, who, by the way, are learning to be responsible. Our current chicken owners' children, are ages 10, 8, 5, 3, and yes, 1 year old. Not only are they learning to be responsible, but they are building a bond with their pets, just like a child would, be it a dog, cat, rabbit, hamster, or any other animal. I am a dog owner. And these pet chickens are no fuss as far as I can see. Chickens are quiet. Dogs tend to bark loud and sometimes obnoxiously. I have yet to see any of our neighborhood chickens hurt or attack a person or another animal. Yet I have seen children get hurt by the big dogs in our neighborhood, my daughter being one. Chickens should be allowed in our neighborhood or our town. If I had the time, I would too be a chicken owner. Thank you.
Christine, what's your last name? I'm sorry.
Basilio.
It's me again. Hi, I'm Joe Viscotti. I really can't add a lot new to this. I'm sorry we're wasting your time this evening on this.
No, it's not a waste.
This should be an association ordeal, and for some reason, it's bypassed 90% of the people who live in Seneca States. If the state was run the way Wilkins saying he has run it in the past. He tried to get the neighbors together and talk about it. And with Will leaving, it seems that the changing of the leadership of Seneca States has drawn us into neighbor against neighbor, which is a terrible thing for Seneca States. I hope the chickens can stay, but more so, I hope the association straightens out. It doesn't have to become disbanded. Thank you.
My name is Carl Fiorini. My wife Deborah and I live at 1619 South Ivy Trail. In fact, we closed on the place 14 years ago today. And we moved into a very modest home next to us. It was a cape. And today, there's a home there cost hundreds of thousands of dollars more than was there before. And the Engs put that home there. The same people who are being asked to get rid of their chickens. I live right next door to those chickens. I don't hear a sound, I don't smell a thing, just chickens. This is rural America. I grew up here. I grew up on a vegetable farm 15 miles from here and saw a lot of chickens, pigs, and hogs, and all of that all of my life. Some are unruly, but not chickens. This is rural America at its finest. It truly is. And I think this would be a shame to take part of it away. Let's keep our chickens. Thank you.
Hi, Gail Tosh, 8447 Emmerich Road and chicken owner. So, you know, I live out in the country in a rural area and I'm not affected by this law, but I came here because I'm interested in what people have to say in the lawmaking process. And what I'm hearing here is a lot of families, hardworking families here in the Lysander area who are playing by the rules. And how do I know they're hardworking and playing by the rules? Because they live in Seneca States. It's a pricey area. They have to have some money to live there. And they joined a homeowners association. I don't know anything that has more rules than one of those. So they bought their house, they're following the rules, and now they're being told they can't pursue their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in the way that they would like to. Seems like it's unnecessary legislation. Seems like an overstepping. I agree that it seems like a homeowner association issue and not a town issue. I don't know why we would ban chicken ownership across the board in all these other districts. And how long before we start changing agricultural districts just because, you know, we feel like it. And I live in one of those agricultural districts who has come under attack by neighbors who want to change the law. And I agree, this is an agricultural town. We have a deep agricultural history, and I think we're doing ourselves a disservice with this, even having this conversation here. It should never have come this far. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Sonia Andrews Georgia, and I live at 1591 South Ivy Trail in Seneca States. Thank you for hearing me tonight. I'm here to share why I'm against the proposed law. I personally don't mind families in my neighborhood owning chickens. Despite not owning chickens myself, I would not want to see others lose that right. I personally don't believe they devalue the property in our neighborhood. Instead, they are a benefit to the families that take good care of them. They are educational for the children, provide highly nutritious eggs, as well as eat ticks and mosquitoes. There are many cities and communities that allow chickens, such as Buffalo, New York City, and Amherst. They have rules and regulations around chickens. I encourage this board to look at some of those rules rather than take away all rights from people in Lysander neighborhoods. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonia.
Hello, I am Ryan Price. I live at 8412 Emmerich Road. I don't know about this family or the neighborhood. We recently moved here over a year ago, and we moved into a house that's 150 years old. We moved here because it is agricultural as well. I do think the connection to animals has kind of gone away, and this family is trying to bring them together. I can say that my family personally, my nieces and nephews have learned a lot more about the animals. They're excited to come over. It's an engagement piece that I feel like kids lack. I really don't have anything else to say except most modern cities right now, if there is a limitation at 6 and no roosters, which is reasonable. That's all I have. So thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Anybody else in the audience?
Fred Birch. 865 Plainville Road. I grew up on Mercer Street in less than quarter acre lots, and we had a big family, 11 kids, in a three bedroom house, so that was kind of a challenge. But anyways, we could never fathom anything like this. And recently, about 12 years ago, 15 years ago, I was thankful enough to be able to buy some properties out on Plainville Road. And one of them is 3.5 acres. And I've got 12 chickens there, and I bought them about, I don't know, 10 years ago. I'm not fortunate enough to have kids myself, but I'm an uncle of roughly 70 nieces and nephews. And I can tell you that when they come over to visit, that is like the highlight of their visit. Also, I own 2 dogs, and the dogs think that the chickens are part of the family, and they think it's their job to round them up. And It's meant a lot to my dad, who I take care of, who's elderly, who I moved out there with me, and it just changes. What I'm concerned about is I've been here long enough to see how things change once they get a foothold, and I would hate to see restrictions go after properties that are less than 5 acres, like the town has regarding solar panels, windmills, outdoor boilers, and the list I can keep on going on. And the other thing I wanted to say is, as far as I know, you guys are all registered Republicans and can carry a conservative banner, and I'm just wondering when Republicans and conservatives became the party of red tape, because as like growing up and from all the knowledge I know, that's the party of reducing red tape. And I just don't think that this is something that should be on the town. What are we going to do with people who have got chickens and had them for a long time? Are they going to be grandfathered if you guys decide to go ahead with this? Or are we going to, you know, change up the law with that? So just a couple things I'd like you guys to consider. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Fred. Anyone else? All right. Hearing no other comments, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Before you go, if you're going to go, I'll make a brief comment. I have no opinion on this at all. I mean, I grew up in a village that it doesn't allow chickens. So, I mean, I've never experienced chickens for myself, but I appreciate everybody who came to the mic, pro and con. This board is charged with, as Mr. Brunetti said earlier, considering a law and how it impacts residents across the community, not in any one development. So I really appreciate you coming in. You're eloquent, you were to the point, you were respectful of each other. This board is going to absorb everything that was said. We'll make sure that you have plenty of notice if we're getting to a point where we're either going to amend the law or we're going to take action. We're not going to do anything that behind your back. It's just we're going to be as open and transparent in this process as possible. But this is part of the process, and I appreciate everybody for coming in and speaking on it. So, okay. So we're going to move on to the second public hearing. Give you a second to go if you want to.
But you're welcome to stay.
But you're welcome to stay. Yeah, I mean.
But we are done with chickens.
But we're done with chickens right now. Farm animals. We're done with farm animals. Okay, so Dina, can I get a reading of the proof of publication for the proposed Route 48 sidewalk district?
The legal notice was published in the Post Standard on May 29, 2018. Please take notice that a public hearing will be held by the Town Board of the Town of Lysander on Thursday, June 21st, 2018 at 7 p.m. at Town Hall, 8220 Loop Road, Baldwinsville, New York, 23027, to hear all people for or against a local law for the proposed Route 48 sidewalk district. Please take further notice that the environmental
thanks, Dina. Can I get a motion to open the public hearing?
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Public hearing is open. I guess what we'll do is there anybody in the audience wishing to speak in favor of the proposed sidewalk district? If you just come to the mic and state your name.
My name is Dr. Angeloro, and I live at 8337 Oswego Road. Just want to say I'm really in favor of this for many reasons. I think it really will be a safety issue for my children who go back and forth to school. But more than that, I think it would be really nice to connect us to the village more. I think it would really enhance our property values to be more connected. I know that when I was looking to buy a house just a couple of years ago, the lack of connectivity to the village was an issue. So, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer. Anybody else wishing to speak in favor?
Mike Gorham, 222 Giddings Trail. Left my son's baseball banquet tonight early to be here. On the way here, I drove down 31 in front of the town hall here and looked at the banners and the posters, the candles, and the fellow that was killed the other day. And you know, when I approached the town about this sidewalk, I had my kids in mind. But clearly, understand my kids only have two more 3 years left till they're in college. I look out for certainly concerned about the safety of kids in the future. The distracted driving that I see on the road every day, driving my own with my own job, I drive 30,000 miles a year just locally, is unbelievable. It's unbelievable distracted driving I see. And the potential accidents that I see, people swerving off the road, hitting the rumble strips, it's absolutely unbelievable. So I am very much in favor of the sidewalk for my own kids, or for kids in the future. For the small amount of money this is going to cost, I would think this is a no-brainer. Sidewalks are a sign of safety. It's a sign of openness to the community, and there's no reason we shouldn't have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Is there anybody else in the audience wishing to speak in favor? All right, is there anybody in the audience wishing to speak against?
I've got a really request. My name is Rich Latano, 121 Coachman's Whip, Giddings Crest. I'm really looking for some additional information. This proposed sidewalk district would cover 8 families. Are all 8 of those families in sync with having that sidewalk going in on their property? That's question number one. Are they in favor of it? Question number two, when you talk about maintenance of the property, does that mean you're going to plow that sidewalk every time it snows in the winter? Are you going to plow that sidewalk at 6 o'clock in the morning so that those families will be able to get out of their homes and go to work? Are we going to plow at an early time so that if anybody, God forbid, were to fall on that property, there would be a clear line of where the liability is? Are we going to give those 8 families any type of a tax break? Because they're obviously going to have to increase their insurance coverage on their property. Are those the type of things that the board has considered? Yes? No?
Yes.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah.
Are you going to put lights on the property as well?
So
there's lights from Chaucer Circle down to Randy Boyven's practice. So there will be lights?
No.
There'll be no lights?
No.
Okay. Bottom line, initially I thought this was a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea. I don't think we, in Giddings Crest or Country Lane, should ever be able to force sidewalks on other people. If you sit here and you tell me that the 8 families support this, that's a different matter. So I don't know the answer to that question, if they all support it. The location of a sidewalk, are you going to ensure that the power lines will not be at any point over that sidewalk? Because as you move closer to Country Lane, the power lines are right by the road. I don't know where you're going to place a sidewalk unless you're really going to go in toward the homes. But to me, this really comes out to be more a situation of not so much the issue of a sidewalk, but an issue that we, as taxpayers, as neighbors, are imposing a sidewalk on other neighbors. And if you did a poll, and I'll bet a lot of money on this, do you think you would get sidewalks approved in Giddings Crest or on Country Lane? So if people have come forward to you, as you put in this memo, that they were in favor of this, how many? 10, 20, 50? My point is that I think if you were going to put sidewalks, Giddings Crest, Country Lane, the opposition would be monumental. But we're going to take these eight families, we're going to put a sidewalk in front of their home. We're going to go from private property to a public thoroughfare. For that reason, I'm against it.
It would be in the right of way.
I just wanted
to answer the one question. Typically, okay. We don't field questions, but since that typically we don't respond to questions, this is a public comment.
Okay.
But since a lot of your concern was about private property,
correct.
The sidewalk would be located in the right of way of the road.
Okay. Technically, you're doing what's correct. All right. I understand that.
But I get you. I know you're
placing a responsibility on these eight families. And from my perspective, unless those eight families are coming forward and saying, yeah, this is great, we really want this, all eight, not one, not two, eight. Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to speak.
Thanks, Rick.
Hi, my name is Aaron Blue, 8327 Oswego Road. I am against this for a couple things, but also in the sense I am in favor of it. It would be across the street from my house, but the other eight neighbors, they don't know about this. This was the first I found out about this. I got this on Monday. This is a little bit late getting to me. 33 feet is what you have from the center line of that road to where the right-of-way ends. You have utility lines in there. You have trees in there. What else do you have in there? Hydrants. How are you going to fit this in there? It doesn't make sense. The one thing would make sense to me, a multi-use lane along that side or on both sides. Widen the shoulders out. Something the Department of Transportation can plow and maintain at no cost to the town. Something that can be done inexpensive. You don't have to pay for concrete. You don't have to pay for an area of 3 to 5 feet between the sidewalk and the road to be maintained. Because let's be honest, who's going to maintain that little piece? You look everywhere. In the village, it gets mowed. Outside of it, not a lot of people mow that little area. There's a number of spots along that. My family would use it, understood. But I don't think it would be good as a sidewalk. You can't ride a bike down it. And the 3 foot shoulders that you have out there currently, I've been there, I've walked on it. Yes, it's dangerous, but something wider would be better. I've ridden my bike down it. You can't ride your bike down the sidewalk. Multi-use would be the way to go, not sidewalk.
Thanks, Aaron. Is there anybody else?
Probably 140 Coachman's Whip. I grew up at 8374 Oswego Road in the 70s. I walked that road every day to school. I'm still here. Granted, there wasn't distracted driving like there is now. but it's probably nobody here that rides on the road as much as I do. I ride bike a lot, and we have to be talking about a bike lane first, not a sidewalk, because I just see it as being underutilized. I think it's just a waste of, I know you've got a grant for congestion mitigation or whatever, but I don't see this as a congestion issue. You know, maybe we have buses in Giddings Crest. They bus everybody, so it's not like anybody has to walk to school. And, you know, now somebody's bringing up about lighting. You know, we don't need a lighting district.
No, we're not. But
we're trying to decrease taxes, not increase them. And I don't see this $53 as being valid. That's just going to go up. You know as well as I do that plowing, they're going to say, well, we really can't plow this for $5,000 a year. You know it is. It's a cost. We really don't know what it's going to be. I mean, it may not be, it's not going to be super high, but I'm sure it's going to be more than $53. And then you got maintenance on that. When the thing starts spalling, then we're responsible on the hook for repouring it.
The money that was quoted in the letter covers maintenance and plowing. So the homeowner does not have to maintain. No one homeowner maintains.
What happens when that needs to be repoured?
Then we would go into the capital reserve account for that.
I mean, I just don't see people out on that road, and I just don't. You're not walking down Stewart's to buy a half gallon of ice cream. It'll be melted time to get back.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I just don't. I just think it's going to get underutilized. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Fred Burge, Plainville Road. I don't live in the affected area, obviously, but a couple concerns. Last fall and this spring, I had gone out and knocked on doors for people that live in the area and asked them how they felt about it and asked them if they were interested in creating a petition to present to the board one way or another. But I'm not here to talk about that. What I was concerned about is the amount of people, like the fellow said, that didn't know. They either didn't get the one notice or it didn't get their attention. There's just, I don't know how we can figure it out, whether we got to knock on doors and talk to people the way I do. I mean, I don't get paid for it, and I want to get paid for it. I do it because I love my town, and I have a little bit of extra time left over, and I know people are unaware, so try to help out. But I know the O'Donnells live in the area. When it be down slightly, he was a teacher. He didn't, him and his kids walked that corridor forever. I lived on Mercer. I got up and walked that corridor. Another thing, like they mentioned about the biking, I'm a rollerblader, and when you take the strides to rollerblading, I can tell you that 3 feet isn't going to work. If you're doing that and you're trying to go and you catch the grass when you've kicked off, you're going to go down. So you're not going to get that type of activity on there. They're still going to be out on the road. But the last thing I want to make point of that nobody has brought attention to, and it's the logistics of the sidewalk. It doesn't make sense if you look at it from a map standpoint. You've got the sidewalk going down to the first entrance of Giddings Crest. That means those people, I'm not sure what the stirrup roads are, but the next entrance down, everybody that lives on that road and further down is either going to have to come up on Route 48 and go 150 yards on the road until they get on a sidewalk, or they're going to have to backtrack backwards into the neighborhood to come up to get on the sidewalk to go. Nobody's going to do that. So there is going to be half of that development, if they do use the sidewalk, going to still go up on 48 and pull that section in front of the O'Donnells. I know you know what I'm talking about, where the sidewalk isn't going to go. And if you just look at an overhead map of that, it just doesn't make any sense if what we're saying we're doing is trying to protect the people walking out there. Just something to consider, and thank you for your time.
Thanks, Fred.
District, but just so I'm clear, I attended the meeting back in the winter when people the interest meeting. And where will the sidewalk end? I know it's going to be on the east side of the road, the proposed sidewalk. But where, which entrance to the country lane does it end at? The one closest to the village or the further up?
Further north.
Further north. Okay, so the
second
furthest end. North entrance to country lane. So why would the people in Giddings Crest be included, but not the people to the east on Route 48 that are pretty much equidistant to anybody else?
We consider that. Al, you want to?
Yeah, so you have low-speed, low-volume residential roads in the Giddings Crest neighborhood, which are considered safe for pedestrians, compared to Route 48, which is a high-speed state road, lots more traffic. You know, yes, those people would have to walk through the residential streets in Giddings Crest to get to the sidewalk and then cross 48 at the 48 Route 48 Country Lane, Hourglass Lane intersection, and a crosswalk to get on the sidewalk. The premise of the grant application was for public safety and to get people off of the state roads and what's a relatively narrow 3-foot shoulder on Route 48. So the thought is that, you know, pedestrian traffic on low-speed residential streets is perfectly acceptable and encouraged, whereas pedestrian traffic in a 3-foot shoulder on a state road where there's noted increases of speed in the past several years is the premise of what the grant application was written on.
Okay, so that's why the people on the east side north of
correct.
Country Lane weren't included,
correct?
But the people in Giddings would have to, in essence, walk backwards to get to
the development. Yes.
Right. Okay. Okay. I mean, that to me, that I would walk west to go south if I didn't have to, but maybe other people. I mean, if you had to, you still got to cross the street. Which, you know, looking at a map, to me, a majority of the people that may use this are going to have to cross that street at some point with an unlit crosswalk. Or are there lights at those intersections?
At this time, there is not a light at the intersection of Country Lane and Hourglass Lane.
Okay, so there's another safety standard that whether you have a sidewalk or not with a crosswalk, if it's not lit, we'll have to put a light there, I would imagine. I would imagine the state's got a rule on crosswalks and
lighting and signage, yes.
Okay. Back in February, how many properties were included in the original district during the interest letter?
I don't recall. Okay, I'm sorry.
Did this obviously had to increase because the cost went down?
It did. The cost actually went up from February. It went from 47 to 53. And the reason behind, part of the reason behind that is the public finance law only allows for bonding of sidewalks for 10 years.
We were originally going to go 15 on it, but we can only bond for 10.
Okay. So did we increase properties in the district compared to February or no?
We did. There was six parcels on the west side that I made an error on. I thought they were the village because the sewer district didn't include them. I thought they were on village sewers. And so okay. Those properties on the west side of 48, north of the end of the Indian Springs development, I guess is the way to say it.
Okay.
I made it some village properties by the sewer district boundary.
Okay. And as somebody previously asked, have the people where the sidewalk is actually going to cross their property been, have they responded to the town whether they would be for or against it? I know the people off Chaucer, that's in essence their backyards and they think there's fences there and stuff like that. They're probably not going to be a big deal, but a lot of these people on 48, that's going to be their front yard. And I never even thought about it until somebody said, depending on what time they plow that, somebody could come home to, I don't know if they have a snow thrower or what they use, the village uses, but they could come home to a 3-foot berm in their driveway to try and cross if the village plowed the walk and they haven't taken care of theirs or vice versa. So, I mean, if I live there, I'd hate that. So, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Anybody else?
Hugh Kimball, 8223 Dexter, and no, I don't live in the area, but I am very familiar with it.
do have some questions. At a previous meeting, I think the one before the last one, or maybe the last one, there were supposed to be postcards that were going to go out to everybody that was affected. Did that happen?
Yes.
And was the cost included in that?
Actually, a letter went out.
Okay, and the cost was included. I guess one thing I would like to mention is my wife, when she was well into her 50s and past 60, used to run up that street. She didn't even use the sidewalk where it exists that the village put in because it was too hard on her feet. She used the shoulders. She never felt she had a problem. She was smart. She faced traffic whichever way she went so she'd see the cars. And she never felt there was a problem. And as was mentioned earlier, none of those kids have to walk to school from up there. They're all bus. Pretty sure of that. The other question I have relates to the wording in the resolution. Is the resolution not only going to adopt the sidewalk district, but is it also authorizing the board to go ahead, put the bids out, and construct? Is that what this is saying? Or is that a second step that still has to be taken?
That's the next step. I mean, what we have is an estimate of the project cost. What we're considering tonight is the establishment of the sidewalk district.
So you're only doing the establishment of the district? Because the reason I'm asking is the last sentence in here, the adoption of the sidewalk district has no significant effect on the environment. I agree with that. But when you go ahead and authorize the building of it, that would require an EAF, in my opinion.
I thought, did we do a SEAKER on it?
We did SEAKER on this.
You have done SEAKER.
We have done SEAKER on this. The formation of the district is considered an action by the board, which requires SEAKER. This is a negative declaration formation of the district. This is a SEAKER negative declaration. We already did the resolution negative declaration, as I recall, right, Tony?
Yeah.
So this is...
Okay, so you have done it.
Yeah,
okay.
This is merely for the district itself. This is not the construction of the sidewalk. This is for formation of the district.
So when you go ahead with the sidewalk, you'll do it again?
Certainly we can.
Okay. I guess the only other question I have, is this going to be a pattern? Are we going to be looking for other areas where we ought to put sidewalks? Because frankly, I think it's a bad precedent. People that have lived there for years, even Giddings Crest, have been there for 15 years or more. Nobody's ever had a problem before, and all of a sudden there's a problem. I just don't get it. I'm concerned that you're going to keep adding to the town infrastructure by starting in a place that hasn't needed one forever. So, thank you much.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, you.
All right. Hearing no other comments, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. All right, the next public hearing is the proposed Collington Point Sewer District Extension Number 1. Dina, could you read the proof of publication?
This legal notice was published in the Post Standard on May 29, 2018. Please take notice that the public hearing will be held on the Town Board of the Town of Lysander on Thursday, June 21st, 2018 at 7 p.m. at Town Hall, 8220 Lake Road, Baltimore, New York, 13027. Here all people for or against the proposed Collington Point Sewer District Extension Number 1. Please take further notice that the environmental significance of said sewer district extension number 1 will be reviewed by the Town Board of the Town of Lysander and submitted to and as part of said public hearing. Copies of the map and report are available for view at the office of the town clerk. By order of the Town Board of the Town of Lysander dated May 17, 2018.
All right. Thanks, Tina. Is there anybody in the audience speaking in favor of the extension? Is there anybody in the audience speaking against? Hearing no comments, can I get a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll move it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Citizens' comments. Is there anybody in the audience wishing to make a comment regarding agenda items, items that are on the agenda? There's a five-minute time limit.
Kevin Rowe, the setting the fee to mow the property, I just want to understand, I mean, I attended the work session, but I do have a couple questions on the process. Maybe the town board can explain, or somebody. So if somebody doesn't mow their lawn, we send them a letter to correct it, we've got a week or whatever, and then what this would set up is we would have the capacity to go mow the property. Now, the $250 you said, is that the max fee we can charge, or is that the minimum?
That's what we're going to start with. It's going to be the fee. The fee. Cost you $250.
Now, we're not going to limit like a size or like an hour limit for people?
No, we did research and found that people that do an hourly rate would prefer to have a flat rate. So that's what we're going to start with. We can always amend it if we find out that it's not working for us.
Okay. Now, code's office, the fine's totally separate, right? Because if we're going to mow it, we've already fined this person, correct?
Well, the fee...
The fine would come if there was an action in court where we violated and brought it to court. We can still do that, but in the meantime, we're authorized to take care of the problem.
Okay, so we would...
The fine would come afterwards.
Right, we'll fine them. If we mow it, you didn't, we fine you the... What's the fine? $600 or...
Not to exceed $250.
Oh, so the fine's $250 also.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... Looking at the towns... liability, what happens if we break the mower on someone's property because there's a piece of metal we didn't know about and we ruin the $3,000 brush hog?
We fix it.
But do we tack that to the person's whose property we broke it on? Because no, we could be replacing this mower three times in a year. You're going on a property nobody's ever touched or seen before.
Right.
There's a lot of concerns before we go down this road to set this rule. And then the other thing, what if we throw a rock through the neighbor's window when we're mowing the yard? Now who's liable? I'd be really concerned with passing item J tonight.
We have insurance for that kind of stuff.
I know, but now we did something that we don't have to do. We could find them and walk away. I mean, WSEN, it was an issue last year. I brought it up. They mowed it. Mowed it with a brush hog. It just pretty much lopped it down. Here it is again, a year later, they don't care. So obviously, we went to them once, now they're saying forget it. It's not that hard to hire somebody to go off and mow that property, but it got brought up in the work session. Well, we wouldn't want to mow near those guide wires or those antennas because we knocked the antenna down. Now the town's liable. I mean, I really think Jay should be off the table. I think it's an excellent idea to have this unit. And I wouldn't stop at just a brush mower. They make ones that can carry multiple attachments on the front that you can put a brush mower on. You can put a finish mower on it. You can put a rototiller on the front of it. I mean, if we're going to buy something that we can use in the town, that'd be a great use. I wouldn't limit it to $3,000 though. You know, if we're going to get something that we want to use for the parks use, get something that somebody can really use. But as for item J, I think we got to think a lot more before we go setting fees and ideas.
Thanks, Kevin. Anybody else in the audience?
Fred Burge, 8865 Plainville Road. Same item as Kevin was talking about. He kind of stole all my PowerPoints there, but coming from a standpoint of somebody who's done or serviced a lot of those type of properties in the past, I can tell you I've cut 200 or 300 lawns like that were up to my waist. And say you get $150 for the lawn, there's been a lot of times where I've had to fix $550 of damage on my equipment to get the $150 that I quoted him for the job. Okay, because you can't see when the grass is high like that. That's one concern. And then liability as far as throwing something. I always went and walked the property first, tedious, before I actually went and put something on that was going to engage. So just something to be concerned about. And then also, I know the town already has assets, but it's more than just a mower. I mean, are we going to weed whack and blow off the sidewalk and the road, the debris that gets in the road, then they're going to need a blower, you know, or a weed whack, and then you need a trailer in the truck to bring it there. And so then we got to license the trailer and register it and the whole nine yards, just so you know that it's more than just a mower. Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Fred. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Town board comments. Roman.
Well, there was a lot more people here about an hour ago, and I wish I had the opportunity to thank them when they came, because the great thing about public hearings is we can get a different perspective on a board. The great thing about having five members on this board is we all have different perspectives, we have different ideas. But when we have a public hearing, we're able to look at other things that maybe we missed, we're able to hear other ideas, and we're able to amend legislation. And I think that's really important. So I just want to thank everyone for taking the time to come. Today is the summer solstice. It's going to be the supposedly nicest, longest summer day, and you're all here with us. So thank you so much for coming. Today I had the opportunity to attend a public safety meeting. There's going to be training, mandatory training for all of our employees to go over hazard communications, right to know, blood-borne pathogens, workplace violence, and sexual harassment. And that's going to be July 11th, so that'll be exciting. The other thing I wanted to mention while I had a chance to speak was I think Kevin and Fred brought up a great point regarding item J, something I want to think a little bit more about, the liability issues. I know Van Buren does contract out. I don't know how much it's going to be to contract out, but I think that you made a good point, and I appreciate those comments. I'd be interested to look into that and see if that's an alternative that we can, if it would make sense for this town. So that's all I have to say.
All right, you're right. Pete?
You know, I was reading The Messenger, and I want to, hats off to, and if any of you know these people, Pac's not here tonight, so Vicki and Donna Frylou, if you know them, I just want you to thank them for me for establishing this Positively Beeville Facebook group. I'm not a Facebook guy, so you won't see more than likely posts from me, but it's nice. If you notice the kinds of things I share at the meeting, I love this community, and I always point out the great things that are going on. So I like the idea that these people are putting this together. Other than that, I also would like to thank everybody who showed up today, and the neighbors who left, please pass that along. It's nice to see people participating in their government. Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
I just wanted to say thank you for participating in the public hearings. The information, your comments are very valuable. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Supervisor comments, same. You know, someone actually apologized at the mic for wasting our time. And I hope that person understands that's why it was not, this is not a waste of our time. Public hearings is an opportunity for the public to voice their concerns. As Roman said, I love seeing the seats filled. We have very passionate regular attendees. But I certainly appreciate the time that people take to come out that aren't as comfortable or don't have the time to come to board meetings. I get it and I appreciate it. So I just wanted to say that. A couple other things. I had a chance to attend with my family the Seneca River Days. I don't know if anybody in the audience had a chance to do that. They had a really neat event this year. It was called Food Trucks and Fireworks. Neat concept. $5 a person, got you on the island. You had like five food trucks to choose from to eat. You grab an adult beverage if you wanted. There were bands playing, and you had front row seats to a fireworks show. I thought that was a great deal. And conservative estimate, I've been on that island a lot, probably 1,500 people. So they made a ton of money there. And it was good to see the island used for a family-friendly event. And Seneca River Days is just a great tradition that we have in Baldwinsville. So thanks to Rotary for putting that on. The other thing I just wanted to mention is I had an opportunity last night to attend a joint meeting between the Mayor's Association and the Supervisors Association for Onondaga County. And Ryan McMahon was in the audience. He's the chair of the County Ledge. And the topic of the night was sales tax revenue. And for those that remember, about 8 years ago, that plan was changed. There was a time when villages, towns, and school districts also shared in the sales tax revenue. Right now, about 75-76% of it goes to the county, and 24% of it goes to the city. And there's talk of opening that agreement up early. And I thought it was an opportune time to try to persuade the legislature, because they're the ones that ultimately craft the legislation that would give us access to funds again. And I put together a plan. I'm not going to read down through it, because if I did, you'd go to sleep. But I think it's a plan that is zero risk for anybody. The only time that towns would ever be eligible for funding would be if there were two consecutive years of 2% growth in sales tax. County doesn't need much more than that in sales tax. A 2% growth in sales tax is a tremendous amount of money. And to give you an idea, towns back 8 years ago didn't receive money. The residents of the town received a county tax credit. And when that went away, millions of dollars poured into the county coffers. And that county tax credit went in Van Buren, I believe, the county tax rate increase was 54%. Now, it's funny how 8 years everyone forgets about that. I was the mayor of the village of Baldwinsville. We received at the time $1.1 million in sales tax revenue. That was cut to $500,000. It's crippling. Sales tax is generated throughout the community. We should all share in it. My proposal here, and it'll be available on our website to read, doesn't ask for a lot. It's actually would probably take 3 years for us to even see a penny of it, and that would be if the economy is booming. But this premise is, when the tide rises, so do all the ships. And when the economy tanks, there's no risk. So I'd invite you to take a look at it. Hopefully it'll be well received and discussed as an option moving forward. Those are my comments, unless there's any questions on that or any comments that we made up here. Okay. All right, can I get a motion to adopt the minutes of the previous meeting?
I'll move them.
I'll second.
Any discussion or changes?
I'm not there. I'm going to stay out of it.
Okay. Then I will vote on this. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carried. Department head reports. Tony.
I'll make my comments quick. I didn't see you guys at the first meeting of the month, but the Little Kids Big Truck event on June 2nd was a huge success once again. I'd like to thank our sponsors, to Gibson Express and Big Red Towing and those guys for coming up and bringing the trucks, and also just beautiful weather and great turnout once again for that event. And that event keeps on growing and growing each year. And it's nice to see over 4,000 people come through our little park and have no place to park cars because it's so full. Seneca River Days, I'd like to piggyback off the supervisor's comment. We piggybacked with Seneca River Days. We did a paddle fest. We had 17 people registered, and I anticipate that event to grow and get bigger. and talking with Seneca River Days, they're going to help me grow that and maybe even throw some money behind it to get that program up and running and make that successful. So it's nice to partner with a Rotary Club and that event of Seneca River Days, and hopefully this event will grow and become bigger. Concert series, again, Tuesday night concert series started off, and we had over 200 plus people at the island for the Beeville Pep Band. Local high school students playing, they're a great act. If you haven't been to the Tuesday night concerts, I recommend it. This Tuesday, we have a country act coming up, Thunder Canyon. It starts at 6:30. Rain location will be right across the street at Suds Factory. So the concert will still go on, just at a different location if there was to be rain. But great Tuesday night, family-friendly way to celebrate the island and get out on a Tuesday night and listen to some live music in our backyard. Tonight, I was late for the work session because just getting there at 5 o'clock, we had 20 cars at the cruise in just before I left, and there's probably more up there now. We had beautiful weather, and that's looking to take off, and that's growing slowly, but it's growing. And it's nice to see people come to the park and bring cars, and they're showcased right at the north end. So if you're passing Hinkle Boulevard, past our park, you see these nice and classic cars parked in our park every Thursday starting at 5 o'clock. Last but not least, we have a boater safety course this next coming Saturday on the 30th. It's $30. It'll be in this auditorium. You have to pre-register for the class, but it covers your boater safety course, it covers your jet skis, and your certification, and that is going to be the 30th right here from 8 to 4. And that's all I got right now.
Thanks, Tony. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Great job. Great job. Tony? Okay. Al? Dave? Dina?
I do. I received a letter from the New York State Department of Transportation regarding free speed studies that were completed. So I'm just going to read the report. The first one was Route 370 between Dunham Road and Emmerich Road. The second was Route 370 between Emmerich Road and East Mud Lake Road. And then the River Road between Patchett Road and West Bridge Street. I'll read the letter as they wrote it. For each location, our study included an accident analysis, field review, and data-driven speed study. Based on the existing roadside development, test drives, accident analysis, and when appropriate, laser analysis, our investigation determined that for all three locations, the current speed limit is appropriate. Studies conducted throughout the country have shown that drivers are influenced more by the appearance of the highway itself and prevailing traffic conditions rather than by the posted speed limit. If speed limit signs are posted for a lower limit than is needed, many drivers will simply ignore the signs. At the same time, other drivers will stay within the posted speed limit. This increases the conflicts between faster and slower drivers, reduces the gaps in traffic, and increases the difficulty for pedestrians and other vehicles to judge the speed of approaching vehicles. With respect to your request on River Road, our analysis noted many of the accidents were related to either collisions with animals or accidents under inclement weather conditions, neither of which could be prevented by an implementation of a lower regulatory speed limit. We encourage the town to consider pursuing other corrective measures: centerline audible roadway delineators, shoulder repairs, pavement marking improvements, etc. We also observed an increase in development and pedestrian usage along this roadway. Installation of an enhanced pedestrian crossing with curb bump outs or a rapid rectangular flashing beacon may be something for the town to consider as well.
Thanks, Tina.
So that's not really good news for the people who petitioned to have the signs.
I know. What we'll do is we'll reach out to the county and forward that letter to see if they might be able to act on some of those recommendations. A lot of times, as a board, we're frustrated because we don't control the speed limit on those roads. You know, we're always open to consider and study adjustments. And certainly, you know, we've had some effectiveness when it comes to speed control and reaching out to the troopers and the sheriffs to get enhanced patrols. A lot of times, if you get enough of them or consistently, traffic seems to slow down, at least for a while. So thanks, Dina. Wish it was better news. All right, we'll move on to regular agenda items. We mentioned earlier that we are going to table item A. Motion, or item B, can I get a motion to approve the establishment of the Route 48 Sidewalk District as set forth on the map, plan, and report, and the performance of constructing sidewalks by the lowest responsible bidder selected by the town to be contracted by the Town of Lysander Town Board acting for and on behalf of Route 48 Sidewalk District pursuant to the provisions of Section 198.6 of Town Law. The adoption of the sidewalk district has no significant effect on the environment.
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Anybody want to make a comment before the vote?
I'm good.
I appreciate the comments tonight. Those that spoke in favor of this, those that spoke against this. One of the things that I love about the town of Lysander, one of the things that I love about Baldwinsville is that we have the opportunity to walk around our village, that we have the opportunity to get out and enjoy this wonderful community. And I think whenever possible, sidewalks help to do that. They bring people together, they encourage people to walk. I think that that's a good thing. This is a public safety issue. I grew up on Dexter Parkway, near to Soane's. I walked to school every single day. My brothers and sisters walked to school every single day. I think sidewalks are definitely something that should be encouraged in this town. The cost, I think, is manageable. I think it's conservative. I'm one person, but I think that this is a good idea.
Thanks.
Bob, I'm good.
I'll just make a brief comment. Sidewalks, to answer a question that was asked earlier, is this going to set a precedent? No. It's very difficult, actually, to construct a sidewalk in a town in New York State. Very different from a village, where everybody pays a village tax and everybody benefits from the infrastructure, and it's very difficult to build a sidewalk in a town. So only in areas where there is an identified need, a public request. In this instance, we were very lucky to get a large grant to help us. And this is a public safety issue. I can't imagine walking away from a grant to build a sidewalk and then have something happen to a kid because we could save a little bit of money. We're not spreading sidewalks throughout the world. We're taking kids off a state highway in a residential area that's contiguous to the village of Baldwinsville. I fully support this. Again, it's not a precedent. It's something that's we've taken a lot of time on this board. We've reached out many times. We did a mailing to 140 houses. We got 90 responses, which was a huge response. Of 90, it was a 2-to-1 in favor of the sidewalk. So there's interest there. And I heard from the people. I understand what people are saying when they're concerned about the cost. But we made the district as large as we could. In New York State, you have to show that the residents in a district will benefit from the proposed, excuse me, in the back. Okay. That they're going to benefit from the asset that's constructed. It would have been very easy for us to have extended that and included some of the areas that were mentioned earlier. But you just growing up here and knowing how people walk to school and know that they're going to walk downhill and take the brown track up, we included residents that we truly thought would benefit from the project. So that being said, there's a pending vote. I will be voting in favor of this. I think it's a public safety issue, and if we can get some kids off a highway, it's great. All right, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carried. Item C, Can I get a motion to approve the establishment of Collington Point Sewer District Extension Number 1 as set forth in the map plan and report? The adoption of the sewer district has no significant effect on the environment.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item D, can I get a motion to authorize the attached budget transfers as per the budget modifications request form supplied by the town comptroller?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item E, can I get a motion to waive the permit fee of $300 for a fireworks display, which is our pyro permit fee, on behalf of the Radisson Community Association for their August 11, 2018 Founders Day celebration. Rain date is August 12th. The fireworks display is to begin at dusk with an expected duration of 10 to 15 minutes in the Cary Hornaday Memorial Park.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Discussion? This is an item that we've considered before. Radisson is a big community within the town. It's a non-for-profit organization. We typically waive this fee, and also we waived a fee from the Village of Phoenix last week. Again, it's a municipality that's come to us. It's a non-for-profit organization that runs those events. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item F, can I get a motion to approve payment to Clark Equipment in the amount of $4,400 for the purchase of an 84-inch Bobcat broom brush purchased by the Highway Department?
I'll move it.
I'll second that.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item G, can I get a motion to authorize the supervisor to sign a contract with Scanlon Trucking and Excavating for the demolition of 938 Morgan Road in the amount of $13,895.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Discussion? I'll make a brief comment on this. I'd like to thank our codes department for acting quickly on this. This is a building that's falling in on itself. It's within like 5 or 10 feet of another building. It's been brought up to us for the last 9 years. We're gonna act on this quick. As you can see, it's not a budgeted item for us. We didn't put aside money to do demolitions. We will be doing demolitions. There's a lot of properties in Lysander that need to come down that are vacant. We're going to take the low-hanging fruit. $13,895 is going to be assessed to the property. That owner is going to have an opportunity to pay that in his tax bill. If he doesn't pay that on his tax bill, the county's going to reimburse us. There's no reason for us to look at these structures and be impacted by these structures anymore. So thank you to Codes, thank you to Tony for getting us here. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion carried. Item H, can I get a motion to approve the following Parks and Recreation Summer Program staff and hourly wages as follows? Well, as indicated, I'm not going to read them all.
I'll move it.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item I, can I get a motion to allow our recreation supervisor to purchase a walk-behind brush mower for an amount not to exceed $3,000?
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Discussion.
Mr. Supervisor, I'd be open to considering tabling item J. If we table item J, I'm wondering if this board considers contracting out, do you think that we will still need this equipment for the Parks Department or for engineering?
As it was proposed during the work session, this would be a piece of equipment that would not only be available to parks in use in parks, but also in our drainage areas if we had to knock down high grass in our drainage area. Some of the points that were brought up earlier by Mr. Rode, he raises good points as far as concerns that a municipality would have in servicing on private property. Municipalities do this every day. And as Tony had mentioned, we have insurance to cover costs on damaged property. The alternative is either to outsource it and pay someone else to do it, or to take advantage of a situation where we can get a piece of equipment that can benefit the town in other areas. This is something that I'm very familiar with in my previous life as a mayor. Things can happen. That's what insurance is for. The alternative is to do what we did last year as well and do nothing. So I'm comfortable with the motions as they're proposed. I thought that Tony did a very good job in doing the research on it, not only in the type of equipment that we should purchase, but what other communities do when they do the work themselves. We're not reinventing the wheel here. This happens every day.
And we can always adjust.
And we can always make adjustments.
The only reason I was thinking about that is because it came up that there were 50 properties, and it was mentioned, you know, there's a chance Tony's department could be overwhelmed. I just wanted to mention it. I thought Kevin brought up a good point, so I...
No, that's there's a vote, you know. I don't know as if you could always... See if the board wanted to table it, but
would you guys be open to tabling it until we find out what Van Buren pays for their outsourcing?
My only concern with that is the next time we meet is July 19th.
Right.
So by that time,
could be snowy.
You got it, Jim. So if we don't act, then the properties don't get taken care of. That's right. My only concern.
I'll support buying the equipment, but because it was mentioned, we can use it for engineering.
Thanks, Jim.
I hope it's not snowing, Jim.
And we might find out we need both. I wonder if they make the parks department and a private.
And nothing says that we can't hire out for it as well.
If so. You're overwhelmed, we could add a second crew.
We have a part-time person. It's just the fact of paying the rate that. To pay them to do it, and he doesn't mind coming in an extra day to do the project. Or do
right,
the
so his cost would easily be covered.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Move forward.
All right, any other discussion? There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Item J, can I get a motion to set the lawn maintenance rate at $250 as allowed in section 24 in the town code?
I will move that.
I'll second it.
Discussion?
Again, Fred did bring up a good point about the equipment. If we damage something, we're not going to want to replace the blade or the mower three times or two times a year. Just, is there, we want to think about raising that number from 250 to 500? And then if it does break, we revisit this?
I think the statute allows us to charge them for cost.
Cost.
So if we increase cost, we're already authorized to do that.
So do we want to add that to the, should we add that to the resolution?
It's already in the law.
It's in the code.
Okay. Well, that answers my question.
Okay, any other discussion? All right, there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried. Citizens' comments. 5 minute maximum regarding down business. It doesn't have to be an agenda item.
Mike's all yours.
You got it, Jim.
It was mentioned earlier that it was, I'd see these seats in this office, this room filled quite often. I would note the town spent $1,000 to buy a very good popcorn machine. I think having popcorn during these sessions
all right.
Create an atmosphere.
Tell them where it works. Popcorn machine in Pennsylvania. Where have I run into you?
Liverpool. Yes, I'm slowly getting there. Our kind and noble and very efficient comptroller has quite by accident met me in the village of Liverpool in the library where they have free movies with popcorn. It's free. And you even get second dippings this time.
Second dip. All right. You got it.
It's an atmosphere of congeniality and...
There will be popcorn at the next meeting.
I'm not satisfied with one.
Let's see how it goes.
Popcorn's not the same.
It is. There would, yeah. I'll even donate it. It won't be a town expense. Thanks, Jim. Nope.
Send the comment about Liverpool, they have a donation box. Free. You know, if you want to donate, drop in a dollar or some change. Most people don't put change because you can hear it going in. People are willing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure the young children that were sitting here would have enjoyed a little bit of popcorn.
Gotcha.
Counter room, 1405 Greenmore Way. For the sidewalk district created tonight, if residents of the district wanted to do something, what would, do they have the option of passing a petition? Is there a 30-day limit from
yes.
when this?
It's subject to permissive program. It'll be published in the future.
And it would be half of the assessed value of the district, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Chevin. Oh, I thought she was coming up. No?
That's courteous. Boy, I saw that look on Tina's face. That was, Fred Birch, Plainville Road. Hey, is there a reason why we didn't have a Town of Lysander representative at the Little Kids Big Trucks event?
I was there.
I mean a truck. Excavator, dump truck.
Village was there.
Okay, the village was there, but the Town of Lysander didn't have a representative at the Lysander, Town of Lysander event.
We have park equipment.
Okay, lawnmower. Okay.
It's new. No, it wasn't actually. The Gator's new.
Okay. On my second thing, geez, you take a week off or you miss a meeting, and all of a sudden we're back to building spray parks again. So, I don't know, apparently I missed the public discussion on phase one of the spray park that we're building. We didn't have a public discussion.
There's been a very public discussion about the spray park.
Okay. Just seems to me that, you know, all that happened, we should have had maybe a spray park summit or something like that. I know that I was one of roughly 650 people who participated in a petition. I was one of over 1,000 people who participated in an online poll that said that they were 10% against this. I was one of 650 people that participated in an online survey and received an email saying that it was a 10% against it. There was a public vote and I participated, one of 1,000 people. It was 10% against it. I'm just thinking that you guys are not paying it, you're not listening to your electorate. You know, there was no public discussion. I read the newspaper article. I was kind of alarmed to find out that it was back on the agenda again. When I started hearing the petition, you know, I was against the funding mechanism. But now that I see the way that we're like pushing this without giving any time for public input discussion, I just see that there's you're not, in my opinion, not listening to the electorate. And you guys were, you know, you all ran on, you know, Republican and conservative lines, and paying for depleting all the funds from in lieu of parks funds, depleting all of them on a fund that had been built up for 40 years in our town, on a project that's been underwater every way that you look at it, to me is not conservative. I mean, and if it is, it's an unbudgeted amenity. If it is, maybe we need to coin a new phrase for you guys, like Bernie Sanders conservatives or something, you know, because I've never seen anything like that before.
This is political.
No.
But I don't want you to think that I'm always against everybody and don't agree with everybody.
I wouldn't think that.
I do agree with people from time to time.
Not for a minute.
I agree with the guy that lied to the town of Lysander to get the job in the zoning office. And he said,
okay, Okay.
When he said,
you're out of line.
5 minutes.
You're out of line. You're talking personnel matter.
Okay, then I won't talk personnel. So I lose my time, or I can't talk.
You have something else. You got a minute left.
A comment was said. No truer words have ever been spoken, brother. And it was a reply to former county legislator Derek Shepherd's comment when he said on the messenger page, just a thought, for the low price of $890.87 each, the 449 people in Lysander who voted to spend everybody else's money could have a spray park if they really want it. And who liked his comment was your guy's pick for the next LRC chairman, his brother Mike Shepherd. So we got a lot of people liking that type of comment. Derek is not somebody who's from downstate. He's lived here his entire life. He's got a pulse on the community. And for him to say something like that in a public forum, I think is profound. And I think you guys should take it to heart. You're not listening to your electorate. Thank you for your time.
Okay, is there anybody else in the audience wishing to make a comment? No. Oh, Gene. It's been a while.
I can't resist. Gene Dinsmore, Highland Drive. You've done some good tonight. I felt like I had to tell you that. Okay, the situation that Tony's brought up and the codes brought up is a situation, as you said, that we've been like this for years. You're taking action, you're doing something about it. That's good. But you're in a big hurry, and I think, you know, when you have an unforeseen problem, you rent your way out of it until you make permanent decisions like purchasing. And this isn't life and death, you're only talking about $3,000 or $4,000, I guess. Well, it's not the end of the world, but I would just say congratulate you for doing something good, moving ahead, taking action, solving a problem that's been here for years. Just don't be in such a hurry. You know, he had some ideas about buying a machine with some other attachments that he could use. It's all good stuff. But if you're in a big hurry, sometimes you can't see far enough. So anyway, congratulations for doing something good. In the future, give it a little more time. Rent your way out and make a long-term good decision purchase.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I will... I will end with a comment because it's been brought up, the spray park in politics. And five hundred and forty-nine people voted against the bond resolution, not the spray park. 449 people voted in favor of the bond, which is in favor of the spray park. That's 100-person delta. We're a town of 22,500 people. And since when, building park facilities for families, since when did that ever become non-conservative? It's the money. I got chastised by a conservative the other day for not spending the money. It's been in there for years. It's being spent on a facility that's going to enhance our park. It's in lieu of parks fund. It took us decades to build it up because we weren't charging developers enough money in the first place. We changed that. Now a developer is going to pay $500 a lot. That should be replenished within a decade. This park should not be a political football. The people that didn't want to pay for it, that didn't want to pay $2.10 per 100,000 assessed, no longer have to worry about it. No cost. Phase one, the park's going to be built. The benches are going to be in, and the fence is going to be up, and kids will be playing soon. And we're going to do phase two because Senator DeFrancisco just stepped up for another grant. So the stuff that we pulled out, the pavilion and the change rooms, those are going to be built too. And so in the end, I guess we all benefited. This should not be a political football. It's a park. It's a spray park. It's ridiculous that we're even mentioning Republicans, conservatives, Democrats. It's frustrating that this is the environment that we have here in the town. It should change. This is an amenity that's going to enhance our one and only park that hasn't seen a major improvement in decades. God, sorry, I had to say it. All right, announcements. There's no other comments. Sorry, Jim. The next planning board meeting is going to be Thursday, July 12, 2018 at 7 p.m. in the auditorium. The next town board meeting is going to be Thursday, July 19, 2018 at 7 p.m. with a work session starting at 5:30 in this auditorium. We are not going to be meeting on the 5th. It's too close to the 4th of July. There's not a lot on the agenda. We're going to have one meeting in July, and that's going to be July 19th. The next town board meeting after that, which would be the first one in August, is going to be August 2nd, 2018 at 7 p.m. with a work session starting at 5:30 in the auditorium. There's no need for an executive session, so can I get a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting at, I can't see that with a glare, 8:47?
8:47.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Thanks for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
I'm going to have you guys sign the resolutions. This is for Collington Point.
Thank you for saying what you did about the spray park. And thank you for mentioning politics.
It's ridiculous. It's a joke. You should be ashamed of yourselves.